ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय,
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायं उदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Today we are continuing to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 23, titled Devahuti's Lamentation. Text number 2. Vishrambena Atma Sauchena Gauravena Damena Cha Shushrusaya Sahurdena वाचा मधुरया चभो। विश्रम्भेनात्मशौचेन गौरवेन दमेन च शुश्रूषया सहृदेन वाचा मधुरया चभो। विश्रम्भेनात्मशौचेन गौरवेन दमेन च शुश्रूषया सहृदेन वाचा मधुरया चभो। विश्रम्भेन विद् इंटिमसि, आत्मशौचेन विद् प्यूरिटी ऑफ माइंड एंड बॉडी, गौरवेन विद् ग्रेट रेस्पेक्ट, Damena, with control of the senses, cha, and shushrusaya, with service, shaurdena, with love, vacha, with words, madhuraya, sweet, cha, and vaho, o vidura. Translation and purport. As Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O Vidura, Devahuti served her husband with intimacy and great respect, with control of the senses, with love and with sweet words. Purport. Here two words are very significant. Devahuti served her husband in two ways, Vishrambena and Gauravena. These are two important processes in serving the husband or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishrambena means with intimacy and Gauravena means with great reverence. The husband is a very intimate friend and therefore the wife must render service just like an intimate friend. And at the same time, she must understand that the husband is superior in position and that she must offer him all respect. A man's psychology and woman's psychology are different. As constituted by bodily frame, a man always wants to be superior to his wife, and a woman, as bodily constituted, is naturally inferior to her husband. Thus, the natural instinct is that the husband wants to post himself as superior to the wife, and this must be observed. Even if there is some wrong on the part of the husband, the wife must tolerate it. And thus, there will be no misunderstanding between husband and wife. Vishrambena means with intimacy. But it must not be familiarity that breeds contempt. According to the Vedic civilization, a wife cannot call her husband by name. In the present civilization, the wife calls her husband by name. But in Hindu civilization, she does not. Thus, the inferiority and superiority complexes are recognized. Damena cha a wife has to learn to control herself even if there is a misunderstanding. Shaurudena vacha madraya means always desiring good for the husband and speaking to him with sweet words. A person becomes agitated by so many material contacts in the outside world. Therefore, in his home life, he must be treated by his wife with sweet words. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in today's section, the focus is come back to the life of Devahuti serving her husband. The last chapter concluded with how she was handed over to Kardama Muni, and the last few verses describe the glories of Swayambhuva Manu. Now, Maitreya is continuing back his description about the life of Devahuti post-marriage. So, yesterday's verse compared the qualities of Devahuti with that of Mother Bhavani serving Lord Shiva. So, the comparison was very apt, in the sense that both were the daughters of kings, and later on they chose to marry great saintly husbands, where the comforts of the palace is not there, but still they continue to serve their husband very nicely. In today's verse, the important qualities of Devahuti, especially in terms of serving her husband, they are brought out. Prabhupada in this purport focuses on two important words, which is Vishrambena and Gauravena. We'll start to look at these qualities and also the life of Mother Devahuti, what sort of training that she acquired, then how she conducted herself in the presence of her husband, how she satisfied him by her good qualities, and what are the blessings that she got from her husband. Later, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself took birth in her womb, and how she also finally attained the abode of the Lord by practicing bhakti yoga in a pure form. She initially heard about Kardama Muni through the words of Narada. Even though she was the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu and Satarupa, who was the emperor of the world at that time, she still did not like to get married to another prince. But she, just by hearing the glories of Kardama Muni, she fixed her mind upon him. So initially you get inspiration from sadhus, and from then onwards your mind gets focused on the goal of life, which is attaining the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, the attaining Supreme Personality of Godhead is always done through the association and through the service of devotees. Here, Prabhupada uses the word how the process of serving the husband or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are the same. You have to have intimacy and great reverence. The way Devahuti was brought up is under the care of Swayambhuva Manu and Satyarupa. As we read how Swayambhuva Manu was constantly engaged in devotional service while simultaneously discharging the duties of a king. So as a king, he did not delegate the devotional service to somebody, but he expertly managed the affairs at home and he did the worship of the Lord personally along with his wife. This is a good way of training, and Devahuti underwent that particular type of training where she is able to see her father and mother serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly, and she also gets those qualities. In the last few verses also we see how a lot of saintly persons visit Swayambhuva Manu, and she can see how her father and mother are serving such saintly people with great reverence. So these qualities get into her naturally. And later on, when she fixes her mind on Kardama Muni, she knows that he is a saintly person and she won't get the same comforts of life as she is getting in the palace. But still, she is willing to go through it because her mind is fixed on a saintly person and she wants to have him as her husband. So this is very similar to a devotee initially getting attracted to Krishna through the association of devotees. Later on, he decides to dedicate his whole life by accepting a spiritual master. So we try to serve the saintly people who we come in contact with. We inquire from them submissively. We render service. Then whoever inspires us the most in executing our devotional service, what do? We fully surrender unto them by taking initiation from them. We read the Shastras, we are given Srila Prabhupada's purports, we accept him first as our instructing spiritual master. We take all the instructions from his books, we get inspiration from him. Then we start associating with the devotees. Then we start serving saintly people. And at a proper stage, we surrender to a particular disciple of Srila Prabhupada who inspires us the most in executing our devotional service. So we take initiation from him. Then onwards, we progress from initial faith, then to Sadhu Sangha, then we are into Bhajana Kriya. After accepting initiation, we must still continue our service to the spiritual master in the same way as how Mother Devahuti is serving Kardama Muni. So with reverence is initially required aspect. So even just before the class began, we recited the translation of the Guru Vandana prayers. I bow down to his lotus feet with great awe and reverence. So it's a very good platform to start with. So that's a platform in which you are starting. So when you analyze from the different rasas in which you can serve the Supreme Lord, first is the Santa Rasa, where you are full of awe and reverence for the Supreme Person. But the key factor that is missing in Santa Rasa is there is no service involved there. You're just appreciating the greatness of the Lord and you just have respect towards him. But when this gets added with the service aspect, so that is what one of the words in this today's verse, Shushrushaya, with service. Now just having awe and reverence is not sufficient, but we must proceed to the next step of doing service to the person who we admire. This progresses us to the next stage of Dasirasa, where you have awe and reverence and you are rendering service to the Supreme Person, and the Lord becomes satisfied by such a service of a person in Dasirasa. Now, in this case, it is with the husband and wife. So, Prabhupada explains in the purport how the husband is a very intimate friend and therefore the wife must render service just like an intimate friend. Here is when the progression is happening towards intimacy. So, from Rasa point of view, you progress from Dasya to Sakya, where the intimacy aspect is more prominent. But the key difference is that between a husband and wife, it is not completely Sakya-rasa, but it's a combination of Dasya, and the intimacy aspect is taken from Sakya-rasa. So it is a combination of Dasya-rasa plus the intimacy of Sakya-rasa. You don't get too intimate with your guru or your husband, or for that matter, in deity worship, with the deities or the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. We don't get too intimate at the beginning stages. So, a sense of awe and reverence is maintained. At the same time, we start to develop intimate friendship with the Supreme Person. Here is where the relevance is applicable to all the different ashramas. So brahmacharis can take inspiration how they can serve the spiritual master. Narad Muni, when he talks about the duties of brahmachari, he tells about how brahmachari gurukule vasantante guru hitam dasavan acharan nicha guru shudrida shavrudam. A student should practice completely controlling his senses. He should be submissive and should have an attitude of firm friendship towards his spiritual master. With great vow, the brahmachari should live at the Gurukula only for the benefit of Guru. Here we see how we don't serve the spiritual master just mechanically. The awe and reverence is there, but there is also an intimate friendship. The friendship comes by rendering proper service, following his instructions and trying to please him with the best efforts that we can put. So that is how you develop intimacy, not by physically going and hugging or putting your hands across the shoulders or doing those sort of things, but it comes more in the way of rendering service with love in the heart. Say for example, you're cooking for your spiritual master, so then you put a lot of love and affection. You try to get the best ingredients, get the best recipe and try to cook by putting your best efforts. That is how you have awe and reverence, but you still serve him personally, with that personal touch, knowing what he likes, what he dislikes, what time, what place, what circumstance, how should I serve him. That way, we get inspiration from the life of Mother Devahuti. The next ashram obviously is the Grihastha ashram. So the entire life of Kardama Muni and Devahuti is like a great example which Grihastha ashram can take lessons from. How they entered before entering the Grihastha ashram, what are the austerities they performed, what sort of training they went through, and their desire to beget sons and the Lord's desire to expand the progeny, they were in line. So then they went ahead and created progeny. So later we will see that Kardama Muni will create an aerial mansion and they will travel around. Then they will have children. 9 daughters will be born. After that, immediately Kardama Muni will decide to leave. But Mother Devahuti will ask him. Because after satisfying her husband by the service that she did, which will come up in the following verses, Kardama Muni will be so pleased, and then he will offer this benediction that I will offer you the benediction of fearlessness. I will give you the vision of knowledge. Even though you have not equally performed austerities as me, but still I will give it because you have satisfied me. So at that time he will give a promise that he will give her fearlessness. So when Kardama Muni decides to leave home after begetting 9 daughters, Devahuti will remind him, you told me that you will give me fearlessness. These daughters, they will get married and they will leave the home. Then who will take care of me? So Kardama Muni will pacify her by saying, okay, very soon the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear in your womb. He will actually give this Sankhya philosophy. He will actually give you fearlessness. So you do not have to worry. So we can see how a properly conducted grihastashram with the goal of satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead in mind gives extremely unexpected results of even getting the Supreme Personality of Godhead as your own son. So the way they conduct themselves is between a husband and wife, that few points are mentioned here as to how the wife is submissive to the husband. The whole objective is to perform devotional service. And if there are misunderstandings due to one trying to be superior to the other and there are clashes, this will end up in wasting time. So the time that has to be spent in devotional service will spend in all these ego clashes. So the safe path that is told in this purport is, who has to take the lower position, who has to take the higher position. And it may seem unjust from one point of view. But for doing devotional service, you are accepting something that is favorable and you are giving up something that is unfavorable. Even though the husband is wrong in an argument, if the wife tolerates, the result of it is that the husband will get pacified and there is a good chance that he will realize his mistake. And soon both will continue their devotional service. Whereas if you look at the other consequence, if both are getting into arguments, both their consciousness will come down to a platform where they cannot do devotional service properly. The same is applicable to devotees staying in the Brahmacharya ashram as well. In some cases, if we find that our viewpoints are not taken care of, if we follow the example of a wife being submissive to a husband, later stage, we will be in a position where we can express our needs or our obligations that we feel, okay, I feel that it should be done in a certain way. And even if it is not done in that way, if we go along as a team, later on it will give us a lot of benefits, because at the end of the day, even in the ashram, we are trying to do devotional service. If we get into arguments, ultimately we are wasting time that can be used in devotional service. Whereas the smaller issues can be resolved later. For the higher principle of performing devotional service, the lower level petty disputes can be put aside. And it does not mean that Krishna will not take care of you. It is said that one's bodily needs will also be taken care of by Krishna. So once one completely surrenders, then Krishna takes care. Next, when we see the renunciation of both Kardama and later stages, as we will discuss today about Mother Devahuti also, it gives a valuable lesson as to how one has to lead the Vanaprastha ashram as well. How one has to perform austerities, perform devotional service with more determination, because you have finished your duties as a householder, you are entering the Vanaprastha ashram, and then finally The aspect of fearlessness, complete dependence on the Lord, willing to do anything for the Lord, these aspects are highly relevant for those who want to take up the renounced order of life. Even they are being exhibited by both Kardama and Devahuti. In terms of progression from the different stages of bhakti, what happens initially is we get initial faith. So then we start to associate with devotees. Then, as I described earlier, you choose a particular spiritual master and then you get initiated from him. Similarly, in the life of Devahuti, we see that she is now serving her husband. And later we will discuss how she treats her husband as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, what is the result that I will get if I follow this process? So, first is that she gets fearlessness from the benediction of Kardama Muni. And now, this aspect of serving the husband, and later on, when we see that when Lord Kapila appears in the womb of Devahuti, she not only serves him, she offers prayers to him. She asks for knowledge. There are almost close to 5 chapters of conversation between Devahuti and Lord Kapila. Now, how was she able to get this desire to hear such a long conversation? Where did she get that strength or the eagerness to hear? That is because she was serving her husband with great intimacy and reverence. Shushushrayo Shraddhadhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Syanmahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Niveshanad. By rendering devotional, by rendering service to great sages, one can get the taste to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, hear the topics about the Lord. So this is a key inspiration, where if we are not able to, we don't have the taste to hear the topics about the Lord, this is one of the very nice instruction we can take shelter of. We can serve those who have the taste, who are already discussing those topics, who relish those topics, who spread those topics to others. So we serve such devotees who have the taste. From that you get the taste of hearing Vasudeva Katha. In Devahuti's case, she is so blessed that she is hearing Vasudeva Katha from Vasudeva's mouth himself. Because as Kapila, the Lord appears and he himself is instructing her about, she will inquire, she will initially lament and tell her that as a person, as a woman, she regrets that she has spent a lot of time with her husband not knowing his value as a saint, but now that he is not there, she will take shelter of her husband. A wife who has a grown-up son need not worry that her husband is not there at home. The son is a representative of the father. So here we have Lord Kapila instructing Mother Devahuti. She will put forward very relevant questions. Just like Arjuna is milking Krishna by asking a lot of questions in Bhagavad Gita, in the section where we even have separate book teachings of Lord Kapila, Mother Devahuti will inquire from Lord Kapila about different paths to reach him. Then Lord Kapila will initially tell about bhakti. Then he will also describe the other paths. Then she will continue to ask about the importance of the time factor, how the living entities are getting entangled, how should these living entities, how can they come out. And in that section, Lord Kapila will tell even bhakti yoga can be performed, but based on the consciousness of the performer, it can be tinged with the three modes. One can perform bhakti yoga, but if he is in ignorance, then he will be in more of performing to compete with others, doing, not respecting others. So those are tinged with mode of passion and ignorance. And some may try to do bhakti so that they can get out of this material world to get liberation. They are tinged by the mode of goodness. Then he will explain what pure devotional service is. Those persons whose minds naturally flow to me as Ganges flows towards river, and who are very eager to hear about, always hearing my glories. So there he will describe the pure devotional service. So here we can see a person who is serving her husband with Vishrambena, with intimacy and great reverence. What is that she is getting? She is slowly progressing in the stages and she is getting prema bhakti. Lord Kapila himself will, at the end of his teaching, he will bestow her with pure love of Godhead. After describing all the characteristics of pure devotional service, and then about Ashtanga Yoga, about Nishkam Karma Yoga, then the adverse reactions of fruitive activities, and then creation will also be described. After describing all that, he will instruct her, "Mother, you follow the path of bhakti. It is very suitable for you. Now I will bestow pure devotional service unto you." You can see how, from physically, a woman is considered as a lower birth. From that point, she is able to pick herself up, perform devotional service, and ultimately attain pure love of Godhead. How is that? The starting is by serving her husband with intimacy and reverence. Interestingly, some of the characteristics of prema, one of them is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the different rasas, these characteristics will also come. The description of how one serves with the Lord with intimacy and reverence. And of course we discuss the different rasas, how they progress. Later on, the reverence aspect will come down and then the intimacy will increase. After getting benedictions from Lord Kapila, even before that, she will offer very wonderful prayers to the Lord. Again, the knowledge is maturing, the love towards Godhead is progressing and maturing, and she will feel herself so unqualified. How did you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, stay in my womb, take birth in my womb, and now you are sitting in front of me and teaching? It's a great wonder. Then she will describe, or she will start glorifying the Lord. And in that, she will say, Yannamadeyat Shravananu Kirtanat Yasmaranat Yas. Yannamadeyat Shravananu Kirtanat. So in that verse, she will describe how the glories of those who just chant your name, how even though they are born in a low birth, even they will get delivered. Yes, Maranat api kvachit sadopi sadhi savanayakalpado kutapunaste bhagavanu darshanat. So she will tell how even a person who chants your name is going to get delivered. Then what to speak of those who are worshipping your form, who are seeing you face to face, who are rendering devotional service unto you. So those verses are quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu also as to how a person who is born even in the low caste as that of a chandala, even he can get elevated and he can also perform Vedic rituals. So she will start to glorify the Lord and she will also glorify the process of devotional service. In that way, slowly what she will do is, she will also simultaneously, she is progressing in the bhakti process. So her heart knots in the heart will be cut off. She will start to fix her mind completely on the form of the Lord, which is very similar to, she is coming out of Anartha Nivritti. Then she is fixing her mind on the Lord's form, Nishta. Then she will gradually lose her external consciousness, even though she is sitting in a palace and she is being served by the other maids. She will lose her external consciousness, and this is when Lord Kapila leaves her after giving instructions. She will think about her son and start to lament about her son. One may say that, okay, if she is very self-realized and you're saying Bhakti Yoga gives detachment and knowledge, why is she crying like an ordinary mother? But the Acharya's commentary revealed that she is a Nitya Siddha. She is got unalloyed devotional service and love towards the Lord who has appeared as her son. So it is not like a mundane lamentation of a mother being separated from her son, but it is very similar. It's the same propensity of attachment to their sons or their husband. It is the same propensity. If that attachment is docile towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then one can attain the supreme goal, which is pure love of Godhead or prema bhakti. So that is why she is lamenting, to set an example for us to learn how we must use our propensities of attraction to family members. If that same attraction is used towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's where we will end up in. One may say that, okay, I'm not as qualified as Devahuti is. Srila Prabhupada gives a very interesting and encouraging lines in the purport. I'll read the verse. This is 3:33:21. Devoti's husband had already left home and accepted the renounced order of life, and then her only son Kapila left home. Although she knew all the truths of life and death, and although her heart was cleansed of all dirt, she was very aggrieved at the loss of her son, just as a cow is affected when her calf dies. The purport, Prabhupada writes, the example given here is that Devahuti became just like a cow who has lost her calf. A cow bereft of her calf cries day and night. Similarly, Devahuti was aggrieved, and she always cried and requested her friends and relatives, please bring my son home so that I may live. Otherwise, I shall die. This intense affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although manifested as affection for one's son, is spiritually beneficial. Attachment for a material son obliges one to remain in the material existence. But the same attachment, when transferred to the Supreme Lord, brings one elevation to the spiritual world in the association of the Lord. Now, here is where the most important point is coming up. Every woman can qualify herself as much as Devahuti and then can also have the Supreme Godhead as her son. If the Supreme Personality of Godhead can appear as a son of Devahuti, he can also appear as a son of any other woman, provided that woman is qualified. If one gets the Supreme Lord as a son, one can have the benefit of bringing up a nice son in this world and at the same time get promotion to the spiritual world to become to the face-to-face associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here we see how there is no restriction in performing devotional service. We saw how just by serving her husband with intimacy and reverence, Mother Devahuti progressed in the different stages of devotional service. She initially got fearlessness as a benediction from her husband, and they fulfilled their duties, varnashram duties. Why? To satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, keeping that goal in the mind. Even though she did not get initial reciprocation from her husband, she continued serving because her husband was performing his austerities. And it's not that she had the luxury of many maid servants. All the services she had to do, there is no roaster, there is no somebody to back up or anything like that. She is the manager, she is the executor, she is the doer. And she has to maintain everything. For the austerities that Kardama Muni is doing, she has to get all the paraphernalia and everything ready, and she was doing it with intimacy and reverence. And through that, she even lost her physical beauty. But the result is that simultaneously what's happening is her heart is getting purified. The misgivings in her heart are being vanquished. She is progressing in different stages of bhakti, and she gets the benediction of having Lord Kapila as her son. And he teaches her pure devotional service. And finally, he gives her the benediction of prema bhakti also. And after he leaves home, she perfects her life by following the instructions that she got both from her husband and Lord Kapila. Even though she was alone, she was always protected by the Lord because she followed the process of bhakti. Similarly, if we take lessons from the life of Mother Devahuti, our faith in this process will increase and we will have this conviction that, okay, if by serving my spiritual master, by following his instruction, by serving him with intimacy and reverence, I will one day meet the Lord face to face and serve him. With that note, I'll conclude. I'll ask if there are any corrections, comments, any questions. So the question is the points discussed in the purport about wife being submissive to the husband seems to be very narrow. And are there any responsibilities for the husband also? Yeah, there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam will say, do not become a husband or a parent or a guru or a friend or even a demigod if you cannot deliver your subordinates. And a lot of time I've heard great sannyasis repeating this point. If a husband expects a wife to follow him, then he must be a leader. He must be leading so that the wife can follow. So he must exhibit the qualities of a proper husband, which means he must be spiritually very strong. He himself must have strong spiritual connection. He must be sense-controlled, willing to perform austerities, and take up the responsibility of delivering the wife and children, and perform those. So he should create an environment where the wife feels secure and safe to perform devotional service. The whole idea is that keeping in mind the goal. The goal should never be lost. Because you are accepting a lot of favors from the wife, you may tend to lose focus of your goal. But I am accepting these services, which means I have to deliver them also. So there are benefits you get in a role, and then there are responsibilities also. So as I explained in the class, keeping the higher objective in mind, the wife does not argue with the husband, because that will bring their consciousness down. Rather than that, you can spend the same time in doing devotional service. So for that higher purpose, you are giving up something which is lower. Not thinking that I am inferior and I am being not being given proper rights. So that is not the actual consciousness, it's there. Later on, such behavior will actually transform the husband. We have seen many cases in within ISKCON where the wife is chanting 16 rounds but her husband is not. But later, by their behavior, they are able to influence their husbands and bring them also to Krishna consciousness. So for that purpose, ultimately they are also winning, because they are bringing their husband close to Krishna. It's not like oppression or being very narrow-minded. But when you do it for that higher purpose, then it will make a lot of sense. And the same principle, as I said, can be applied when we are serving as a team and then we are serving the leader. So you follow the same principle. Anyone else wants to add to that question? Or, yes. So the point Mataji is making is reverence, the word could be misunderstood and thought only of being oppressed or not given proper way to express, but it is more to do with serving. And as she was pointing out, these personalities are very strong personalities, and they are exhibiting these qualities and they are teaching us also. In one sense, if somebody asks what is the proof that if you follow Bhakti Yoga, you will attain the result, well, here is Bhagavatam, it has got a detailed case study. It is very interesting that the divinity and divine service, if you read that chapter, the first canto, second chapter, all the stages that are described there, it exactly corresponds to the life of Mother Devahuti. How she will get Brahman realization, she will get Paramatma realization, and then she will get Bhagavan realization. And how did she get the desire to hear so much? It's because she served the great personality who was her husband. Then by performing devotional service and the misgivings in her heart will be cut. Then she will become more fixed. Then she will meditate on the form of the Lord. So that's why when she attains liberation, the stages will be described. How she attains different aspects of the absolute truth will be revealed to her. And we also see how her body will merge with the five elements and it will become a river actually. It will be like a holy Tirtha. So from a point of being physically in a disadvantaged situation as a woman, she goes all the way up to attaining pure love of God. Just like a great inspiration for every ashram. We can take inspiration from her life. Mentioning about Kashyapa and Diti and how Kashyapa is giving pure devotion to her wife, which is his responsibility, and the wife served nicely, and so she got that that kind of answers is kind of an extra. So we have more case studies where we see these examples being put into practice, and we also see that they are getting results. So nowadays it's very popular to write product reviews and then saying, okay, I used this product, I got the results, and then I rate this. You can all say, can you be practicing Bhakti Yoga, this is what you will get, and this is where you will go. And it's documented here. Okay, any other questions? Conclude here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki jai, Tai Gaur Premanandaya.